peace and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another.
Those of you who are Anglican, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There you go. All right. First of all, I want to ask, obviously with the exception of Jesus, do you have any friends? Okay. I want you to think for a moment, just in a moment, just have a think about who, think of one friend, your best friend, the friend that you feel closest to, a friend maybe you've had for a while or maybe fairly recently, but somebody who you really associate with. Who is your friend? Just think about that person for a moment in your mind. Man, woman, it doesn't matter. What is it that makes them your friend? Why are they your friend? Do they think of you the same way? Do they think that you are their friend, your BFF, as they say? Is that right? Is that best friends forever? Yeah. Okay. I don't want you to think about someone who you've ticked a box on Facebook or whatever. Okay? Because the whole concept of friendship has, I think, been watered down by social media. Yeah? That whole idea of friendship no longer feels as important, maybe, as it was before social media. Friends were people who you got to know maybe over a lifetime. You went on holiday together, you worked together, you played together, you introduced your future husband or wife to them for their approval. Yeah, do you remember those days? That actually friends were people who had to give their approval or their encouragement when you were looking for your partner in life. But I want you to think this moment, if you think about what a friend, your best friend, means to you, okay, our passage this morning talks about Jesus saying to his disciples, I have called you friends, I call you a friend of Jesus. It doesn't mean that you are his best buddy. It means an awful lot more than that. And I want to unpack just a few thoughts about what it means this morning to be a friend of Jesus. And for Jesus, what does it mean for Jesus to call you his friend? And I think the easiest way of doing that is to actually look at people who Jesus called his friends. And to look at one maybe in particular. I want to look at what it meant for Simon Peter to be Jesus' friend. Yeah? Because if anybody in the disciples was thought of as a friend of Jesus, it would have been Simon Peter. Maybe there were others, maybe there were other people who he felt close to, who he loved, but in the context of this morning, I just want to focus on Simon Peter. the fisherman, the impetuous Peter, the rock. Their first meeting was on the shores of Galilee, so we're told in John chapter 1. After that time, Peter, or Rocky, or whatever, probably throughout what I say this morning. But it seems Simon really rarely left Jesus' side. And we also hear that actually after a while, Jesus even moved into Simon's house in Capernaum. But actually he went to stay with them, lived with them maybe. He healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. It was located, his house was located right by the synagogue. And if Jesus could ever be said to have had a home other than his parents' home, you'd have probably thought it was Simon Peter's house that he would have thought of as a place that he would go to. And so Simon Peter was a genuine friend. A friendship with all its usual ups and downs. When you think of your friends, have you always been friends? Are there times when you've had arguments and disagreements? Are friends the people that you actually want or trust in order to say kind of difficult things to you? As well as the positive things. And if they say stuff to you, do you listen to them more than you listen to other people who aren't your friends? Would that be fair? That actually, if you've got a friend, you're going to say, if that friend says something to you, you are much more likely to hear what they are saying than you would do a stranger coming up in the street and saying it to you. Yeah? And when Peter and Jesus spoke to each other, they could say things to each other that maybe the other one didn't want to hear. In fact, Jesus probably knew what Peter was going to say anyway, but that's neither here nor there because Jesus is Jesus. But when Jesus spoke to Peter, he spoke both in a loving and encouraging and generous way, but he also told him off. Peter is the only disciple that we hear that says no to Jesus. That's a thought. But Jesus saves his highest praise and his most severe rebukes for Peter, his friend. And we know Jesus was close to more than one of his disciples. We know that several of them went with him to the Mount of Transfiguration, that there were disciples, the disciple who Jesus loved. Though it's not entirely clear who that was, though it's probably John. The only kind of fully formed relationship that we see, best boyfriend. Ooh, that's kind of got so many connotations today, doesn't it? What does it mean for Jesus to be a friend with you and for you to be a friend of Jesus? You see, one of the things that I think is probably very critical in a kind of analytical way, not in a negative way, when we're looking at this, is how we understand who we are and how we understand our friendship and what it actually means to be friends. Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And I want to ask you this morning, if you think of as Jesus as your friend, we're living with 2,000 years of getting to know Jesus. And we know what Peter's answer was. But just think for a moment, who do you say Jesus is? Who are you willing to say that Jesus is to the people that you talk to who are outside of this building? Yeah, it's not just about who do you say Jesus. If I asked you now, if I asked Stephen, well, who's Jesus, and I ask who's Jesus, they would say something, you know, vaguely spiritual or biblical or, even pious. Yeah, okay, because we're sitting among Christians and it doesn't matter. And we can say whatever we like about Jesus pretty much and it will be accepted by the group here because we all know and love Jesus. At least that's the idea. But who do we say Jesus is outside of this building? Who do we say Jesus is in the places where actually it would not be really very comfortable to speak about Jesus because people would think we're a bit weird? Who do you say I am? And Peter responds to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And a little moment later, Jesus answers back to Peter. He says to Peter, "Peter, you are the rock. And on this rock I will build my church." Jesus is defined by Peter, and Peter is defined by Jesus. Yeah, thank you. I don't really want to trip over that as I wander around. If I move this a little bit further forward, maybe I won't. And actually, I can get rid of that one entirely because I'm not using it. That's created even more of a problem. Right. Okay. If you are friends with somebody, then you help to define who the other one is. Yeah? Okay? You are defined by your friends. Just like I was saying, in all the American rom-coms, isn't it? You know, the new girlfriend is taken to meet the friends to make sure that she's the person who, you know, is okay for their friend. And vice versa. But we are defined by our friends. We are shaped by our friends. And our friends are shaped by us. Yeah? If you, story after story in literature, you know, you see a person with the people who surround them who are, and you make value judgments about a person based on the other people that they associate with. There is an old saying, iron sharpens iron. Have you come across that one? Iron sharpens iron. And that is about friendship. It's about who helps us to be the best person that we can be. And if we are friends of Jesus, do we allow Jesus to define us? Yeah. By being friends with Jesus, what does that say about the people who relate to us from the outside, who come and see us? Are we defined by the fact that we are friends with Jesus? We've just sung one verse out of one of my favourite hymns. Yeah, "All to Jesus I surrender all things." Not one tenth. Yeah, I love it. There was Tony Campolo used to preach. "One tenth to Jesus, I surrender one tenth." Yeah? All to Jesus, I surrender. If we are friends with Jesus, we are defined by the fact that we have submitted our entire selves to him. Yep. Okay, I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? But we don't really often live like that, do we? Let's move on. Do you know, Stephen has mentioned this several times in sermons, I don't know whether he said it here or not, but do you know what the most frequent thing that Jesus says in the New Testament? Very close. I mean, yeah, basically. Do not be afraid.
Not just Jesus, the most common phrase in the Bible.
The most common phrase in the Bible. But is it also the most most frequent thing that Jesus says? Do not be afraid. Being a friend of Jesus means that we need to hear him saying, "Do not be afraid." Because actually, most of the time, we do live our lives in fear. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us that they were terrified when Jesus revealed himself on the Mount of Transfiguration. The only time they actually see Jesus being the godly Jesus, they were terrified. Mark tells us, hang on, I knew this would happen. Any excuse. Jesus told the three who came with him, "Do not be afraid." And most often when he was revealed in a new way, he said to them, "Do not be afraid." When he walked on the water, "Do not be afraid." When he appeared to them in the upper room, "Do not be afraid." If we walk long enough with Jesus, he will reveal himself in new ways to us. And our lives will be transformed as a result of actually knowing Jesus as our friend. And we will be afraid because he will move us into new directions that we were unwilling, unable to go in the past. Let me tell you about a friend of mine. Last week, I went down to Devon to a funeral of a friend. His name was Lance. He was a librarian in the library, a junior librarian in the library in Crediton, and then went on to become the chief librarian in Dunstable. And I was at school, and you know from my previous story that I got bullied quite a lot in school. And I used to escape from the boarding school and go down and hide in the library because I became aware that people actually, bullies generally didn't use libraries. And I became a fairly frequent visitor to the library, and Lance, the librarian, he was about 10 years older than me at the time, kind of adopted me. And in ways that would not be acceptable today, he became my friend. After a couple of years, I ended up going back to his flat occasionally where we would drink tea together, and he taught me the first steps of playing the guitar and introduced me in the middle of the 1970s, believe it or not, to the very first fledgling internet. Okay? And out of his influence grew my love of music, or part of it, though my parents obviously had some influence on that as well, but also my love of computers, because he helped define a lot of my future life, though he did not know it. He didn't really know it, because when I left school and went off and made my own life, he was left behind. I did meet up again with him several times, but he never really knew how much of an influence he had on my life. And what a transformational effect his hospitality and his love for me. And he was also, what I discovered, was somebody called a tertiary of St. Francis. He was a third order Franciscan monk. He's a monk who actually lived in the community. That's what a tertiary is. And his love of Jesus, though he never explicitly talked about Jesus, other than to say who he was and what he was, he didn't bash me over the head with a Bible or anything. He just loved me in my brokenness. And his friendship defined my life. And because he was a friend of Jesus, that shone through him. And I stopped being afraid because of his friendship, because of Jesus' friendship through him. When Jesus calls his disciples to follow him, he says, "From now on, do not be afraid, for I will make you fishers of men." He calls them out of where they were, their boats, their fish, their nets, into a walk with him, and says, "Do not be afraid." And if you call yourself a friend of Jesus, you need to hear this morning Jesus saying to you, "Do not be afraid." And as Jesus calls them to become fishers of men, he calls them into something that he is already doing. Already he is speaking to thousands on the sides of hills or on plains, depending on how you want to interpret it. Already he is transforming the lives of those around him by his healing powers, by the God-given gift of actually ministering to people in their brokenness, their loneliness, their hurt, their guilt. And he offers forgiveness and healing and restoration. And he is going ahead of his disciples as he calls them to be fishers of men, to do the same things that he was doing. And if you are friends with someone, then you do stuff together, don't you? Yeah? You go out together. You play games together. You go to stuff together. You share in each other's excitement over the new things that are happening in your life. Them with you and you with them. And as Jesus does this stuff, if we are a friend of Jesus, then we go along with him and into the things that he is doing and do them as well. And he comes with us into the life, into our lives, into the stuff that we're doing. If we invite Jesus into our lives, it means our lives will no longer be the same. It doesn't mean that we will be different people, because we will be us, and he loves us exactly as we are, warts and all, mess and all, brokenness and all, hurt and all. He loves us and comes alongside us in our hurt, but actually he doesn't say to us, I want you to live in that hurt for the rest of your life, because that's who you are. He says, no. I come to bring healing. I come to bring you life in all its fullness, not in all its brokenness. To bring you out of the pain that you are walking in at the moment, because I am your friend and it hurts me to see you in that hurt. And I want to bring you out of that because I have the ability to heal, to restore, to renew. As we get to know him, and get to know what he is like, as we study his word, as we pray, as we talk, as we listen to God, he brings us out into a new place. I don't think I'm breaking any confidences, because last Sunday, a member of the congregation at St. Peter's gave a testimony about how she had found it really difficult to forgive someone who had hurt one of her children. And she had nurtured that hurt for a long time. And as she was reading the Bible, as she was praying, she felt that God saying to her, I have forgiven you, so you too must forgive. And her life was transformed, and she said it was like a whole burden was lifted off her life, and she just kind of just wanted to say thank you to God that she had been set free from this lack of forgiveness that she was able to offer others. If we invite Jesus into our lives, he sets us free from the things that tie us down. If we call him his friend, if we call Jesus our friend, and Jesus calls us his friend. I forgive you. Then our lives are no longer the same. If we are friends with Jesus, we are no longer defined by our failures. We are no longer defined by our mess, our shortcomings. Peter denied Jesus in the courtyard of Caiaphas, the high priest. And Luke tells us Jesus could see Peter and Peter could see Jesus in that courtyard. And Peter denied knowing and following Jesus. He screwed up. And yet Jesus was still willing to go from that place to be tried, tortured, crucified, even though his closest friend had turned his back on him. We don't change who we are so that he will love us. Okay? A lot of people get caught up in this trap. They think that they have to be good to be a Christian. No. You are who you are. You don't have to change so that God will love you. God loves you and enables you to change. He gives you what you need to become the person that he designed you to be in the first place. It is his love, his kindness, his mercy, his grace, whatever you want to call it, in our lives that enables us to recognize that we have messed up, but we are forgiven. We are restored. We are renewed. To be a friend of Jesus means that actually it doesn't matter what sort of mess we're in at the moment and how much we may want to get out of that mess and feel that we're trapped in it. To be a friend of Jesus means that actually even though we feel trapped, he opens the gates of the trap. He opens the doors of the prison. He opens the eyes of the blind. He sets free the captive, and that means you and me. To be a friend of Jesus, he rescues us from wherever it is that we find ourselves and brings us into a place where we can know love, forgiveness, peace, freedom, friendship, the loneliness is lost in the love. The brokenness is restored in the healing. To be a friend of Jesus. To be a friend of Jesus allows us to be defined by him. We are who we are, not because of our past, but because we know Jesus as a friend. We are friends of Jesus, and being a friend of Jesus, he tells us, do not be afraid. We are a friend of Jesus, and being a friend of Jesus means that our lives are transformed by his presence. We become who we were meant to be because we are friends of Jesus. And we are friends of Jesus, and therefore we are no longer defined by our weakness and our brokenness, because he takes that and transforms it into beauty. I've scratched the surface of what it means to be a friend of Jesus. I've looked at just a few small things out of Scripture that actually point us to what it means to have a relationship with God. I encourage you to go back to the Word, go back to the Bible, go back to the conversations you have in your small groups with your friends, and explore together what it means to be a friend of Jesus, to be a friend of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.